I had an opportunity to influence some of the kids that I came to know in football and track in a way that I hadn't thought of before. That was good for me. It had the potential to be helpful for me, but more importantly, it had the potential to be helpful to them.
Welcome to Stories of His Glory, a podcast where coaches, athletes, and partners of FCA share powerful stories of how Jesus Christ is transforming lives through the world of sports. I'm Ryan Jungman, Area Director for FCA in North Dakota, and I'm so glad you're here. Each episode, you'll hear real stories of people who've experienced the life-changing love of Jesus. Stories that will encourage, challenge, and inspire you to see how God is moving even through the world of sports and into our lives. Stories of His Glory podcast is grateful to Copper Dog Waffles and Coffee for their support of FCA and youth athletics. Copper Dog is located on historic Main Street in Mandan and has the best gourmet waffles and custom coffee drinks. When you go, try my favorite, the Rookie, and definitely try pairing it with one of their amazing coffees. Stop in today for a unique experience, something unlike anything else you'll see in North Dakota. Sweet or savory, there's something for everyone at Copper Dog in Mandan. Welcome to the Stories of His Glory podcast. We exist to highlight the transformational work of Jesus Christ in the lives of coaches, athletes, and other partners of FCA. Psalm 96:3 reminds us to declare His glory among the nations, His wondrous works among all people. I'm Ryan Jungling, Area Director with Fellowship of Christian Athletes in Bismarck, North Dakota, and today I'm excited to introduce you to a good friend of mine, Rudy Steidel. Rudy's a retired educator from the Bismarck school system. Rudy's invested through education and sports into the lives of countless coaches, teachers, students, and athletes. Listen in as Rudy shares the impact one of his coaches had on his life, how the ministry of FCA invited Rudy to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and the transformational work that Jesus has done in and through Rudy since. Here's my conversation with Rudy Steidel. Well, welcome, Rudy. Why don't we start today by just giving you the floor. Tell us a little bit about yourself, maybe some of where you're from, where you grew up, some of the maybe activities you experienced growing up. Maybe tell us about your parents and your family and where God took you after high school, and just turn over the floor to you.
Okay, Ryan, thank you. I'll do the best that I can. I hope that we can accomplish some things that are going to be helpful.
Yeah, so you grew up in Valley City?
Yep, I did. I was born in Fargo, North Dakota, and that was because my mom had some problems. We lost a child in childbirth, and that was in Valley City, and so her doctors told her maybe to go down to Fargo, and that's where I was born. We lived in Valley, but I was born down there. And then I lived for the rest of the time till I was a junior in college. I lived in Valley City. Actually a senior, but we got married. My wife and I got married in the last year in school. Valley City was a real important place. I loved my experience. I loved my school experience. I liked the teachers. We had, most of our teachers were nuns, really solid people. They were good. Then we had one of the individuals that was most prominent in my life was our coach. He was a social studies teacher and coached all of the sports. And when I was getting ready to think about going to college, what I wanted to do is I wanted to be like he was. He had such a profound effect. I felt like I wanted to do something that I could have the same kind of an effect on students that he had on me.
Wow. You grew up in a family of educators.
And oh, by the way, yeah, my mom had a standard degree from Valley City, graduated in 1923, and she taught. And my dad also taught. So that was, I wonder how I had a chance to be anything but a teacher, because they were just special, just real special people.
Yeah. So you had parents that were teachers, but the person that maybe had the most impact on you to become a teacher was your coach.
Absolutely.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Absolutely. He was an amazing athlete. He was an athlete at Valley City State Teachers College. He went into the military at Valley City State Teachers College. He played football and was in track. In football, he was an end, a tight end. He led the conference, which was Valley City and Dickinson and Jamestown and Mayville and Minot. He led the conference in scoring. What are the chances?
As a tight end.
As a tight end.
That usually doesn't happen.
And back then, it was 3 yards in a cloud of dust. People ran the ball every time they could, as long as they could, because it wasn't, they were getting shut down running. And he led the conference in scoring. He also threw the javelin. He went into the military, and for some reason or another, he competed when he was in the military. He competed in some track and field. Threw the javelin a long ways, I can't remember what it was, in a stadium that was for the Kezar Stadium. I don't know if you've ever heard of Kezar Stadium. One of the professional teams played its football games, National Football League games, in Kezar Stadium. But it was an athletic facility, and so didn't make much sense to me until I got older. And then I started hearing about Kezar Stadium, and I thought, Coach Ratzlaff threw the doggone javelin in that place coming out of Valley City.
Wow. He goes to the military, like you said, comes, and he's your coach. What was it about him that stuck out? You said you wanted to be a coach, and you wanted to be a teacher because of the impact he had on you. What was it about him that stuck out?
First of all, he was my coach. And after that, I was an athletic junkie. I just loved sports. And he coached me in football, basketball, and track. And so that was a big deal. And he was a good coach. And he was a social studies teacher.
Hey, social studies teacher, the coach.
Imagine that.
Imagine that.
So I got a degree in college in social studies and physical education. So anyway.
Yeah, that's incredible. We talk with FCA, it's the relationship between a coach and an athlete. And to think that's your story, is that coach had an impact on you. It led you to become a coach. And so he coached you in three sports. Were those three sports the only sports? Or did you, like, was it tennis? You also played tennis?
The other one was tennis. Yeah.
Hard to coach two sports in the same season.
One of the other, the guy that was our quarterback, as a matter of fact, in football, and we played tennis in the summers just because we could and we liked it. And so we ended up playing tennis. We didn't have uniforms for tennis, and so we wore our track shorts in a white jersey that had a red banner across the chest. And we played Mandan for fourth place in the state tennis meet. And they had uniforms. Not only did they have tennis, they had pants. And when they saw us play, they thought, what is this? They had nothing but, I don't say contempt, but disdain. Thought, this is Mickey Mouse. Here we are playing, and these guys, look at them. We beat them. And the longer the match went on, the more frustrated they got.
That's awesome.
It was.
Yeah, so you played sports for 4 years in high school, and you went to Valley City State, and do you also play sports in Valley City?
Yes. Yep, four sports in college, too.
Wow. That's so cool. I can't imagine that happens too much anymore, but I also can't imagine that it probably happened a lot at that point.
It didn't. That was unusual. And I was gifted with athletic stuff. I picked it up right away. And I'm not sure why, but I did. I was competitive. And
then you said you met your wife in college?
Yep. I had an 8 o'clock physical science class. And I had some buddies that I knew, some guys that were all for football, and I gotten to know them. And one of them was a really good friend from that had gone to St. Catharines also. And so we'd sit and visit before the class started and just hang out. And one day, after a couple of weeks, I saw this gal come in and sit down, and she was several chairs ahead in another row. And I thought, my gosh, she's a pretty girl. So a couple of weeks later, I asked if she'd like to go out on a date. She said, no. I said, okay. But I thought I'd ask her again, and I did. And then she did. And we started dating then when we were freshmen in college, fall of 1963. We started dating, and we were married then when we were seniors, in the summer between our junior and senior year, we got married. So,
has it been together a long time?
I'd better be careful. 58 years, I want to say. One of those, you know, it's been a long time. It's been good. Not all good. We struggle like everybody as couples, raising children. It's not easy. We've got three kids that are doing okay, but those are being a parent and trying to do the right things and help them understand and all that kind of stuff. I shared earlier that my mom and dad were extremely influential because of how they raised us up. And I was influenced by that too. A lot of the things that I did, I saw them do. I knew after they had done it with us why they did it and all of that.
So you said your parents were influential and you kind of understood what they were doing later on. Is there anything that really sticks out? Anything in particular that you learned from your parents that down the road, maybe when you had your kids, that you're like, oh, that's why mom and dad did that with us. If you can't think of anything, that's okay.
It was just their overall example. They had a lot of many people. We grew up in Valley City, and my dad had been in Fingal. He grew up in Fingal, which is east and south of Valley City, 20 miles. My mom grew up in Rogers, which is north and west of Valley City. My dad had one brother, and that's all. My mom had seven brothers and sisters, but they were very friendly people. They had people skills that were really strong. It was hard to not like them, and they were good listeners. They would had opinions. They could share them without being over making more of their ideas than maybe anybody else. They were sensitive to the fact that was their opinion, and the other people had a right to their opinion too, but that worked for my mom and dad, and they were raising us up with that concept.
For sure. So after you and Leanne got married and you ended up in Bismarck, was that the first step or?
Actually, Leanne went to school straight through. She went to 4 years of regular fall and then also went to summer school. So she graduated with a degree a year ahead of me. In the process, she went down and she taught in Oaks, North Dakota. When she was a first teaching, I was a senior, then going to be a senior, and she was down in Oaks. And we lived in Oaks, and I used to drive back and forth, and she taught. She had five different preparations. She worked so hard to try to do all that. They should never have done that. That was a sore thorn in our sides. Anyway, then when I finally graduated, we got a job in Cavalier. I got a job in Cavalier. They had a position for her, too. So we both then started teaching in Cavalier, and it was a great experience. We really had a good, she then did physical education, had three periods of physical education and two periods of English. Instead of five different preparations, it changed everything for her. I taught social studies and was a coach, was an assistant coach in football and track and basketball, I guess. So that was a really good experience. Then, in the spring of the year, I had a guy that I knew, his Dale Mugg was his name, M-O-U-G, but he pronounced it Mugg. And he played baseball at Valley City State and was a good baseball player. And I was a junkie, so I would go and watch all kinds of sports, anything. And I saw him, and I got to know him because then I played Legion Baseball. He would play games and then hang out like other athletes do. If there's a sporting event, they're going to go and watch. They got buddies and they're going to watch and they like to see what's going on. And so I got to know him that way. And when I was at Cavalier then, he called me in the spring of the year and he said, Broody, I am the first assistant in football and I am the head of the social studies department. And I want to know if you'd be interested in coming down here and teaching social studies and helping coach football.
And that was it. Bismarck High?
At Bismarck High. Leanne had graduated from Bismarck High.
Okay.
And we're in Cavalier, North Dakota, which was very nice, and we could have been there for a long time if that hadn't come about the ding thing in Valley City. But when he said that, Leanne said, Rudy, this is a no-brainer. We need to take this, and you need to do that. And we did. It turned out to be really good. And the interesting thing is he asked me if I would coach football. And so I was coaching football. But I got to know when you're coaching, you meet all the coaches from different sports. The track coach talked to me. He said, I need help in track. Would you consider being an assistant coach in track? Absolutely. I would. In the first place, you got more pay. You got pay for being a track coach as well as a football coach, and that was helpful. I love track. It worked out very well for me.
So you got hired in football. You also become this track coach.
Yep.
Kind of starting to honestly look a little bit like the coach that you looked up to, where you were coaching multiple sports, seeing that dream come true at BHS. That's really cool.
Stories of His Glory is brought to you by North Dakota Fellowship of Christian Athletes, where our mission is to lead every coach and athlete into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ and His church. Across North Dakota, FCA is on the ground in weight rooms, huddles, and classrooms, building up bold leaders of faith through sports and scripture. Whether it's a student athlete discovering Jesus for the first time, or a coach finding strength in community, lives are being changed every season at FCA. Want to be a part of the movement? Visit fcand.org to get involved or support the mission. Now, let's get back to the story.
You went to a parochial school growing up. You've talked about the impact that your parents have had on your life. Where did faith fit into Rudy's life, into the family life, as you were growing up? And maybe whether it's what you saw in your parents, in their faith, or maybe what you personally experienced in high school or college.
I went to church 6 days a week. We went on Sunday as a family. We went every Sunday. And that's what my parents had done. They'd gone to church when they were growing up. We dressed up. And I thought that's what you did. It's in that, of course, lots of stuff changes. But anyway, and then, so that was on Sundays. And then Monday through Friday, it was a Catholic school. We had church in the morning before school. And then we'd go get a long john and go start class after the service was over. The faith part, that would just became part of my life. That's what I did. And it was based on the example of my parents. And I had all my buddies did the same thing. The four of us that were the backfield, Monday through Friday, we were in church in the morning, along with all the other friends. So
you had a little bit earlier before we started recording, you had talked about your parents in prayer and just some really good examples. Did you see that in them outside of just a Sunday morning church, but just the example that they set in your life?
As I had mentioned, my mom prayed every night before she went to bed. 7 nights a week, she prayed. And I saw that, and I didn't think much about it. I guess at the time, I just thought that's what she did, and maybe, and I don't know if anybody else did, but that's what she did. She was such a kind person. Her faith, for her, was just part of who she was. She was just a nice person. And my dad, the same. When I would go with him, when he was, after he started working for Standard Oil, occasionally he'd take me along. I watched when he would pray. I didn't know he was praying at the time. And I asked him, Dad, I said, what are you talking about? And he said, Rudy, I'm praying. And I didn't know what to say. but it was powerful for me. It showed me, well, he had some things that he was praying about. He wasn't saying the rosary prayers. He was praying. He had things that he wanted to pray about, to talk to God about. He did that. He did it even though I was along. He wasn't ashamed that he was praying, and he wasn't, I don't know how I would, he wasn't in thinking that maybe he shouldn't let me see him praying. That's who he was and what he did. And it was a quiet example. And he was, again, like my mom. There was a whole lot of people that liked my dad. He was just a friendly man and not overbearing, and he knew how to deal with people, and so did my mom.
So you had that as a backdrop as you were raised, and then you're coaching. This is a couple moves down the road, but you're at Bismarck High School. You're coaching, you get to coach track and football. And when did, because our connection is through FCA, through a Bible study. So when did you first hear, experience FCA?
I heard about FCA through a men's Bible study that I began attending when I first started teaching in Bismarck. One of the men that was in the adult Bible study was a man named Dick Carlgaard, who was the athletic director for the Bismarck Public Schools. And he said, Rudy, come to this. I think you should do that. I think you'd enjoy this. We met in the morning, early, 6 o'clock. There was probably 8 to 10 men that were there on a regular basis. Another one that was there was a man named Walt Sherman, and he was a remarkable man. He was maybe 5'5", had one arm, was a recovering alcoholic, had a gambling addiction at one point. And when I met him, he was selling yearbooks for a living. And he was a strong individual. And in spite of his size, and he would share opinions in a way that was appropriate. And he knew about FCA. Walt Sherman knew about FCA. And I know that he talked to Dick Carlgaard, because Dick was the athletic director. He said, Rudy, we should maybe talk to Rudy. They've got conferences. You can take coaches and kids and send them to a conference to learn about FCA and to learn about Jesus, actually, to learn about having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And he came and talked to me. And I said, I work in the summers.
So this was like challenging you to go to a conference?
Yes.
And take kids?
Yeah. He said, Rudy, that's exactly what he said. He said, I want you to take some kids and go down to an FCA summer conference in Fort Collins, Colorado. And I said, Walt, I can't believe the money goal that I'm going to make. I need the extra money. We're not rich. And he said, I'll take care of the money. Don't you worry about the money. I'll cover your salary. We'll find some way of doing that. I knew who did that. That was Walt Sherman that did that. But he wanted to eliminate excuses that I might have to do that, because I think that he could see, knew enough about FCA. And there were some people that he talked about that were one of the forerunners in starting FCA. And I can't remember where it was. It was east of North Dakota and Minnesota and south, and I can't remember, whatever.
Walt challenges you to go, right?
Yes.
And you said yes.
Yes.
I assume.
I did.
And so what was that? This is like the late 60s, early 70s?
It would have been, I started at Bismarck High in the fall of 68. So it would have been 1970.
Okay. Yeah. So you, in 1970, take these kids. You go to Fort Collins, Colorado for this FCA conference, FCA camp, and what was that experience like?
I want to say in that stretched limo, we probably had 10 kids. They used it. That's what they'd take on a basketball trip. The team would ride in that. And now we put Ed Kringstad, I don't know if you remember that name. Do you?
I've heard that name before.
Okay. He was a remarkable college athlete, and he was a really good coach. I believe he was a wrestling coach at BJC, and a good one, and they had a good program. Dick Carlgaard talked to him to see if we could use the stretch bus. He said yes, and we went. And there was, I'd say, 10 or 11 kids. We packed it. We put as many in there as we could. We probably had more than we should have. I'd say 10 or 11. And we went down, we went to Fort Collins. It was amazing. We got out and we went over and registered and we started walking around and looking at the football field and the track and just getting oriented. And what I saw down there at the time was a number of people who were obviously coaches, and they were walking around too. And they had Bibles with them. I had a Bible along, but it was interesting for me to see them. They had them, mine was back in the bus, and they were carrying theirs, but they had Bibles. And when they walked, they just seemed to have a purpose. They were going someplace. They had something they wanted to accomplish. And then we went to the meetings. It was powerful, and that's where I heard about Jesus, the importance of developing a personal relationship with him. I sat in the bleachers at Moby Gym on the campus of the school and asked him to be my personal savior and started carrying my Bible.
What you carrying right now?
What I'm carrying right now.
Oh man, that's incredible to think that it started with your activities director, athletic director for Bismarck, inviting you to a Bible study. Somebody seeing in you that God had something big planned, challenged you to take these kids, and then you also accept Jesus as your personal savior at that camp. It's so cool for me in the role that I have now that I've been called into to like know you, the person who led like the first group from Bismarck to an FCA, what we would now call summer camp. It's just incredible to know the scope of ministry and how God has used ministry all the way back from Walt Sherman back in the late 60s to where we're at today. And man, that is so awesome. What kind of impact? You kind of talked about the coaches and how you saw the coaches were carrying around their Bibles and they walked with purpose and they had looked like they were going somewhere, is what you just said. So how did that, desiring a personal relationship with Jesus, how did that impact you when you got back from camp? What did that look like?
It changed my focus. It became apparent to me that I had an opportunity to influence some of the kids that I came to know in football and track in a way that I hadn't thought of before. That was good for me. It had the potential to be helpful for me. But more importantly, it had the potential to be helpful to them and make a difference in their lives. And that was one of the things, the influence of the coach, my high school coach, played the same way. Then I thought, this is an opportunity for me to have an effect on these student athletes, these kids, that I wouldn't have had before. And that they might not have had. So
it's incredible to see, like you just had talked about the impact that your coach had, and now you have the ability to make an impact as a teacher. It's just incredible to see that where God took you from high school student to college, you meet somebody in college who then moves to Bismarck High School, and you go to end up in Oaks and then Cavalier and then to Bismarck, and then you get this experience with FCA. And did you take kids back any more times?
Yes. We went the first time in, did I say 1970?
70, yep.
Okay. We went again the next year with the stretch bus from BJC. And then my wife, Leanne, drove our car and there were kids in the car. There were at least four kids in the car, maybe five. She drove, and there was a couple that were sitting in the front seat and maybe three in the back seat or maybe more. And I can remember when I got back, when that first year, I said to Leanne, I said, we're going again. We're going to go next summer, Leanne. We had Michael. He had been born. He was a little guy, 4 maybe. She was pregnant with Jennifer. And that was a good experience too. It was a good experience for our kids, for Mike and I and Leanne to meet these kids. There were virtually everybody that went the first year went back again, and then some others, and then some more. We got started, and we had an FCA program at school, at Bismarck High School, and there was a couple of other teachers that were involved with us. I don't know that they had went to a summer conference, but they still wanted to be part of the FCA program. One was a teacher and counselor, and so we were going to get stuff happening.
And I'm coaching for a little while. Eventually, you moved into administration. What kind of an impact did not just FCA, but your faith have as you moved into administration?
There was a program that they opened up at the University of North Dakota, and it would allow me to get a master's. And the important thing is that we were able to make it financially work out in that I became the head resident in a dormitory. And as a head resident, we had an apartment right in the dorm. And then we ate all our meals, breakfast and dinner and supper, or lunch and dinner. The kids were involved. By then we had 3. And it was perfect. I almost made money going to school. And I got my master's. When I had an opportunity to, when I started planning this, I went to the administration and I said, I want to do this. If I can, you assure me that I'm going to have a job when I get back. And they said, yes, we'll do that. You can be a teacher and a coach and do what you were doing before. We'll see what happens, what might unfold with the thing. But you'll certainly have a job in the Bismarck Public Schools. And so I went and I got my master's. We came back and I was given the title of assistant principal and activities coordinator and at Bismarck High, and just went on from there.
Because you ended up like encouraging like Barron in particular, eventually. Was he the first one? I'm just asking you this question as a, because you were an assistant. Were you an assistant at Hughes or were you the principal at Hughes?
I was both. I was an assistant at Bismarck High, and then I went to Hughes and became an assistant principal there. And then when the principal retired, then I became the principal at Hughes. And then we opened up Horizon. We opened up Horizon. Oh, and then besides that, we also went to an FCA. It got to be closer. There was an FCA camp at St. Olaf College in Minnesota. And we took a couple of vehicles of kids, loaded with kids, to go down to that. There was quite a number of people that, I'll bet we had 50 kids that we had taken to camp over the period of years. The camp in St. Olaf was great, and nice facilities, and the same concept being preached. Some of the kids that we took to St. Olaf had been to others, one, maybe both, and they weren't going to go again. We had new kids too. That was important. And the new kids, many of them went because their friends went. Their buddies that had gone to them said, hey, we're going down to St. Olaf. Why don't you jump in? Come along. You'll love it. It'll be good.
We've been to this before. We've already traveled to Colorado. Why not travel to Minnesota? And they got to experience your driving, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You talked about your faith and how Jesus became your personal savior. What kind of impact did that have on your life as a coach, as a dad, as a husband? What did you see, or what did maybe others see? You were involved in a Bible study before you went to Colorado. What was kind of that growth period?
My life had become more of a challenge in that I was administration in the first place, and that's a different deal than being a classroom teacher. Not that there's anything wrong with being a classroom teacher, but there's administration has an opportunity to be helpful to the teaching program. That's what they should be doing. I liked the part of that. I liked the concept of that. But all of the teachers, they are strong people. They are strong personalities, and they want to teach. And they have an idea of how they're going to teach, part of which was how they were taught, how they were parented and how they were taught by other teachers and how they can apply that in their lives. And you've got 20 or 30 or 40 teachers or whatever it is, there's some differences and you got to make all of that work. And it was a challenge. And I prayed about that. I had to try to get some sense of what was going on. And just the story about Barron is that he submitted an application. And at the time, we had folders with people would do their resumes, okay, and put them in there, and you'd have a stack of 30 or something on the desk, and you'd go through and narrow them down. You wanted to, because you weren't going to interview every one of them, but you wanted to see in. So one of the folders was the name that belonged to a man named Barron Blanchard. And one of the things that he had done is in his resume, he talked about different things he'd done in high school and college, and he was a tremendous wrestler. I'm not sure he didn't win a national championship, a heavyweight championship.
Pretty successful.
6'5 and 200 and whatever, and he was a big man, and he'd gone to Northern State in Aberdeen, and in his folder, he talked about things in college, and he said, I became involved with FCA, first and only time that I'd ever seen that come before at that time. I had never saw anybody after that. I thought, oh, well, that's interesting. I'd like to talk to him just because he'd been to a conference. And we did. We had a nice visit, and he talked about the impact in FCA had on him, and he was a heck of an athlete and would be a good coach, and I thought this is a good place to start.
Yeah, that's incredible. Like, think we're 25 years later. By this point, you're in a career for quite a while, and you have this opportunity to hire somebody who runs an FCA huddle at Horizon, goes to Bible study with us still, and is still would kick my butt on a wrestling mat, that's for sure.
Yes.
As we kind of wrap up here, just wanted to dive into a little bit more on the word, because you had talked about how you had seen these coaches that carried around their Bibles, and now you're carrying around your Bible. And so the Bible, the word of God, is central to you. And what is a verse or maybe a couple verses that you go to, that you turn to, that means a lot to you? Where would you go?
One is there, I'm going to do a couple, I think, here, but one is Philippians 4:4-8. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. That's one. Romans. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone, everybody. if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Psalm 118:24. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
This has been incredible. Just to sit here and, in my mind, at least, to piece together some of the things that you've talked about over the last little while, and the scripture that obviously has impacted your life. What stuck out to me more than anything, and I think it's going to come through for anybody that's listening to this, there's a confidence that you read your Bible with that I think is exactly what you saw at camp with those coaches. When you said they're going someplace, there was a confidence in your voice that stands on the truth of God's word, that is the base for everything, to think about the scriptures that you pointed out and to be gentle and humble and kind and loving. That's who God's gifted you to be. And we know that comes because you spend time in the word. You spend time at Bible study and studying the word. And I just think there are so many things that we've talked about today that have just pointed to the life change that only happens through Jesus.
Amen to that. That's what you mentioned it earlier, and you just mentioned it again. Those guys that I saw, those coaches at that first camp that I saw, they were carrying this because they used it. They were carrying this because whatever they do, I'm not sure that I might have had it in the vehicle. I don't know if I took it. This is before we really started having the meetings in Moby Gym. But anywhere they went, they've got what they need right here. And they carried it around like that. It was just apparent that there was a real connection between what they did and their faith. And it was powerful.
And it's, with the way you speak, I know that's what has guided your steps as well. Thank you so much, Rudy, for this. This has been really great to hear your story, hear how God has moved in your life through all of the people that you've led, whether it's teachers like you finished up talking about as an administrator, or athletes and other coaches that you were with, and even me over the last 10 years or however long we've been in Bible study together. I'm really glad that we could have this conversation today. So thank you so much for your time.
Absolutely. Thank you, Ryan. The things that are going on in Bismarck are only going to be growing because of your commitment and your dedication and your involvement in FCA. It's already apparent, and way to go. It's going to keep growing. I can tell you that right now.
It's all because of Jesus.
All amen.
All because of Jesus.
All because of Jesus.
Thanks again for being part of Stories of His Glory. If today's episode inspired you, take a moment to share it, and be sure to follow or subscribe so you won't miss what's coming next. Psalm 96:3 reminds us to declare His glory among the nations, His wondrous works among all peoples. The field is yours. Now go glorify Him.